We bring greetings to you this evening in the name of the one who loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we, with those thoughts in mind, we proceed with the service and the work that lies before us here this evening of choosing leadership for the church, that which Jesus counted dear enough to give his life. I'd like to draw a few thoughts from Matthew chapter 9. Here we have Jesus kind of in the beginning of his ministry, toward the first part of his ministry. And we'll start reading in verse 35. And it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We heard this morning about teaching and preaching. Jesus did more than that. He says, in healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And I think that's kind of an important point there. I like that word, every. You know, he didn't say, well, I'm sorry, your cancer is just too far advanced. I'm not going to be able to help you. Or he didn't say, well, leprosy, you know, that's there's no known cure for leprosy. Or, you know, a lot of other diseases, spina bifida, cerebral palsy, and even what the New Testament calls the lunatic. Sorry, you were born with that, and I guess you'll just have to live with it. Nothing like that. It says he healed every sickness, every disease, which even modern medicine hasn't been able to touch, a lot of those. And the reason that's an important point is because a couple of things. One is, Jesus says he was sent to the lost house, people of the house of Israel, and that's where he sent his disciples to as well in their first commission. And so we're looking here at a people who knew about God, a people who had been taught the known scriptures of that time. They knew the law, and they were surrounded with scribes and Pharisees and teachers and lawyers and priests. The land was full of them. It seemed as though on every street corner, Jesus encountered these people, and often they were a part of the multitude that came to hear him. Only problem was, many times they were on the fringes, and they were there to see if they could catch him in his words or find occasion against him somehow. But this was the situation that Jesus entered into in his ministry, a culture that knew about God and knew about the law, but they were a hurting people. And you can imagine, we ourselves today deal with a lot of these things. There's sickness. People get disease. They're born with birth defects. And they're hurting people. They're suffering people. There are widows. There are orphans. There are people in all kinds of situations where help is needed and appreciated. And so as we see that situation, It says in verse 36, but when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. With so many scribes, so many lawyers, so many teachers, so many rabbis, and they were scattered. They fainted, and they were scattered. And they were the people of God. They were people who knew about God. It was a culture, a Jewish culture, where there were synagogues, and there was the temple at Jerusalem. And the people were taught even from their youth. And yet, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so that's the challenge. And I think that's part of what we're trying to accomplish here in this work of ordination, is that there is sufficient shepherding to go around to meet the needs of people who are hurting and who are needy and who are searching. And Jesus continues then saying, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I'm sure that much prayer has gone up in behalf of this meeting and this work that's going to be done here this evening, that the Lord would choose another one, another laborer, to enter into that harvest. And at the next chapter then, we see that he chose those 12 disciples, and he gave them a commission. He gave them power also. But the thing that I would like to especially notice here in verses 7 and 8 in chapter 10, he says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, and freely give. Now, we don't necessarily have the power to heal those sicknesses and diseases as the disciples did. But the implications here is that they were sent out to a hurting people, and they were to be healers of hurts, and they were to minister to the needs of the people, and they were to be instruments in the hand of God, to be the messengers of God. Freely you have received, freely give. Now I'd like to turn over to the book of Hebrews in chapter 5. And this is talking about Christ, his willingness to take on human form and to come to the earth, and the reason why he did take on human form. But it has something to say to us as well in the choosing of leaders. Here in the verse 1, it says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. In other words, there are spiritual needs there that he is called to minister to. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And so what it's saying to us here is that we also are men, and we also have needed to repent and confess our sins. So it helps us to be compassionate toward the one who repents and confesses his sin. I've been there. I understand what it feels like. And I also understand the joy of victory and of forgiveness and of release from guilt I know how that feels as well. But I can reach out and I can relate to you because I was there. And sometimes I stumble and fall, and I need to be forgiven. I need to ask forgiveness. And when it's extended to me, I appreciate the release of being forgiven. I've been there. And so I also am understanding of the one who stumbles and falls and needs help and needs forgiveness. I'm willing to extend it because I was there and I know what it feels like to be in that place. In verse 3, it says, by reason hereof, he ought as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins, because he is also a man of infirmity. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but that he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So what he's saying here is that this appointment of, in this case, a high priest, but in the case of the people that God chooses to do his work, by the work of ordination specifically, by the laying on of hands, that this is a calling of God. This is not the work of man. This is the calling of God. It is God's work through the church, through his people, and it is recognized and it is affirmed and acknowledged by God. And over here in Ephesians chapter 4, where he talks about the different gifts that are given, he says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so even though it is God uses men of infirmity, yet it says he gave. It is the work of God through his people. And then there's a promise here that's always been precious to me and that I have used many times to encourage others. And that is in verse 7, where he says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Or that word gift there is the same as the talent that was given to the man who received 10 and or who received 5 and 2 and 1. And so every one of us is given grace according to the calling, to the talent, to the responsibility that's been placed on us. So even though we are men of infirmity, yet we have this promise that God is going to give grace according to the measure of the gift, or according to the weight and responsibility of the calling. And that's a promise that we can all claim, especially the one who will be ordained tonight. Shall we stand to pray? Our Father in heaven, tonight as we stand before you in anticipation of the work of ordination here this evening, Lord, we recognize the need of your Holy Spirit to move and to work among us. And also we thank you for the promise that we can claim this evening, that where you lay responsibilities, you also give grace. And so where there's added responsibility and aspects of labor and commitment and surrender, there's also added grace. And so, Lord, we just pray tonight that your Spirit would move among us and that your work would be accomplished and that your name would be glorified, the church would be edified, and that we can move forward in the work of building the kingdom. Be with those who lead out in this work and bless them with wisdom. We just commit the remainder of the service to you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Appreciate those words of encouragement. And I was just looking at in Hebrews there, in the passage right before, in chapter 4, I believe it said we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And he understands everything. He knows what we've been through, what we're going through, as such a blessing. And the thought of us being shepherds and sheep, I was blessed by that thought this morning, that we are sheep and we need, but God is, and God will give grace for the whatever he calls us to. So we're at the, as a congregation, I believe we have prayerfully sought the will of God and the consent of the congregation to ordain a brother to serve as minister. We have two brethren that have been nominated by the brotherhood. And now we're coming to the place that I feel we have done what God has called us to, a prayer and fasting and searching. And we're looking to God to continue working and to make that final decision on who he has chosen. I trust we have the confidence that he is orchestrating this part. He knows the details and he gives the impressions. So at this time, I've got two identical books here and two papers. And the one says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." And the one with the lot has on it, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." And I'm going to ask someone to come forward and place these in this songbook, in these books, one in each book at song number 499. And then I will ask someone to take them over into this room and to place the, they will take them into the side room, place the papers in the books, shuffle the books, and leave them lay there. And then I will ask someone else to go in and shuffle the books and bring them out to me. And I think I will ask my brother John Troyer, if you would come up and take these books and take them in and place the papers at song number 499 and shuffle them and leave them in the side room there. And after that, then I will ask Brother Nolan Yoder to come up and go in and shuffle the books and bring them out to me. So why don't we, maybe before we do that, we'll stand together for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before thee again, looking to you. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that you've promised to direct and guide and for your leading thus far. And we just pray that your spirit might continue to move and that your work may go forward. Lord, you know that what is best for this time, what you have called each one to, Brother Brian, Brother Jared, we just want to commit them to you. We want to commit these as we move forward through this process, Lord, that you might, your will might be done. We want to trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just us, Brother John Troyer, to take these. Bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we look to you. We just pray that you might just direct and guide the brethren here as they move forward. We just want to trust in you. We want to seek your face again. We thank you for your many promises. We thank you for that we can have the confidence that you are here and that you know the call you have placed on each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, you may, as you feel led, choose a book. So to the congregation, beloved brethren and sisters, receive this your brother in the office of a minister in love. Pray for him that he may be blessed and strengthened in his calling, that through his efforts the church may be preserved, and when he preaches, be obedient thereto. Esteem him verily highly in love for his work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves that the doctrines and ordinances of the church may be maintained to the salvation of souls and to the glory of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you as his dear church, and finally bring you all to his eternal rest through Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom be honor and praise and glory forever. Amen. So at this time we'll have a song, and after that we'll turn our attention to Brother Steve for the concluding message.
Turn to song number 32 in the church hymnal, song number 32.